Hello, operatives. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 6 of Once Upon a Kill Team, the podcast about narrative play in Warhammer 40k Kill Team. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jason, and we want to talk to you about building stories around the gameplay in this grim, dark, terrible universe. In this episode, we reveal the winner of Best Narrative Moment from the recent London Wargaming Guild Narrative Kill Team event. And we'll also be talking through the campaign from another one of our listeners. So look out for that. And, of course, our regular features.
The eagle-eyed among you may have spotted that this is not the episode title that we promised. Due to circumstances beyond our control, a warp storm or a chaos invasion, we couldn't get the guest that we wanted for our Ashes of Faith review. Fear not, we still have a packed show, and mostly with fabulous listener contributions. You might also be curious as to why it's been so long. Well, Jason has been walking most of the way across Scotland for weeks, and then I had my own excursion over to the Lake District, so we've been spending a lot of time outdoors and rather enjoying it.
And one of us has got older.
And it was my birthday.
Happy big 3-0, Budsky.
That's me, 30. I'm feeling it.
You don't look it. Body of a 21-year-old. It's all the stims, I'm sure. And I think the other thing to note is hopefully the audio files out there will notice that the audio is a bit better now that Sean and I are not in the same room together. So thank you for your patience with our last episode. I hope you still enjoyed it. But hopefully this is sounding much better.
Yeah, we're 60 miles away and recording separately.
As God intended.
I'm going to put it on its head, Jason. I'm going to ask you what you've been doing in Hobby Corner.
What? No, that's not how it goes. Anyway, I've got loads. I've got loads this time, I tell you, loads. Even though I've been away and done things. Okay, get this. I know this isn't Kill Team, but I've built a Chaos Blitz Bowl team. So I now have some goat people who like beating people up. It's just not for this game. Anyway, I'm pretty pleased with those. Yeah. I've also built and undercoated all 23 models. Yes, 23, I still can't believe it, for one kill team. That's the Chaos Cult team. Bloody hell, that's a lot. The models, though, if I can just say, are fantastic. Even like the devotees are just really good. I wouldn't say I'm normally...
They're really dynamic, aren't they?
Oh, they're so good. Yeah, I'm not normally a, you know, chaosy type guy, but so building these and has made me quite excited. The models themselves are just super duper. So, oh no, am I turning to the dark side? This is terrible. On top of that, I thought...
Just a dabbling.
In the spirit of being super efficient, I just basically built everything that I've got that I had on a sprue. So it's the Sisters of Battle. I built another Blitz Bowl team plus a few other models just so that I can just get the undercoating done in one go. And I think this could have been an error. Regular listeners will know that I basically just like doing one team or one thing at a time. And that's because of this feeling when you see a sea of grey, and even when you've undercoated it and you see a sea of, you know, white in this case. Blimey, I've kind of intimidated myself, really. It's a lot to do.
There were a lot of models on the table there.
There's a lot. But as the old adage goes, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So in that spirit, I... absolutely ignored all of those models I've just spoken about, and I kitbashed, you've heard that correctly, kitbashed an Inquisitor stroke Interrogator for the Battle Brothers Tabletop Model Challenge that's on this month. And
Nice.
I don't normally do a bit of kitbashing, but it's been a while since I've crafted a cape out of green stuff. and I used the body of Blitzbolt Imperial Noble thrower, and then I essentially just added a las pistol in a jaunty angle and a cape, and job's a good one. Bish bash bosh.
He does look great.
He does look great. I'm quite thrilled. He's a very flamboyant inquisitor stroke interrogator. And I asked on our Instagram channel for people to suggest a name. And we've got some great suggestions here. I'm just going to read a few of these out. Primaris Painter, hello, has suggested Inquisitor Teapot. Why, you ask? Here's my handle, and here's my snub-nosed las pistol. If you see the pose this bottle is in, it is there. Vendry Minis has given the suggestion of Biff. Inquisitor Biff. It's pretty good. Somebody called Sean has done Terry Trueblaze. Quite like that. Would that be you?
That was me. That was
you. Okay. Daniel has given a good one. I do think this guy has a bit of a hint of, Captain Flashheart from, or Lord Flashheart from Blackadder. So someone suggested Flash stroke Debonair. I quite like Flash. We've also got Baptiste from Megaston 47. This one has quite a ring to it. Sergio Auditus. Inquisitor Auditus.
Oh, I do like that one.
And this one sounds very Inquisitor as well. Lucius Knowles. So I was kind of thinking of like combining a few of these. I quite like the idea of Flash Auditus. Flash Baptiste.
I mean, that's pretty great.
It's pretty good, isn't it? Inquisitor or Interrogator Flash Baptiste. Lucius? Anyway, there's some great suggestions there. Thank you for sending those in. Yeah, that's me. Have you been up to much on the hobby front?
Well, to fill my lonely evenings while you were away, I got gifted the two Vitrix bodyguard models from the Ultramarines range by Ryan. I've got four Blade Guard veterans, and I can either run it as a squad of six or a squad of three. So I needed two more. So now those Vitrix are all getting cut up and spliced into other chapters against their will. For the Death Watch.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. And the train doesn't stop here. I also managed to... I was scouring eBay for some Terminators from the new Leviathan box. And I've got myself five lovely chunky new Terminators.
Oh, well.
They're going to be a Death Watch Terminator squad. They're going to be Thunderhammers and shields and Cyclone missile launchers and essentially a walking tank that will smack you if you get too close. And I've been really enjoying just planning out who's going to be what chapter, then what bits do I need to buy, and then what bits do I already have because maybe I shouldn't be buying so many extra bits.
Is there a spreadsheet?
So I've just been scouring through my bits box. There is a spreadsheet.
Of course, there's a spreadsheet.
There's a spreadsheet.
No, that's good.
But most of it is green. I'm just waiting on a few extra bits. Yeah, well, it keeps me on track.
Keeps you on mischief. No, that sounds great.
And so those are new models, but I've been repurposing some old models. Some of the very first ones that I kitbashed when I first got back into the hobby during lockdown. I did like a true scale version of a Terminator way, way, way back when, where you just put essentially the Terminator arms on the Gravis body. However, I've got the new Terminators. So someone's arms and all the decorations and everything got ripped off the Gravis body. Now they're on the Terminator, just with blue tack, because they're pretty well painted. So I don't want to have to paint it all again. So I'm going to do my first ever sub-assembly.
Ooh.
And get everything else up to level. And then glue all the arms and everything else on.
God, I never sub-assembly. I mean, I do sometimes think it sounds like a good idea, but I just never, ever do it. I'm so basic.
I don't either. If you can't see it, don't paint it.
That sounds very exciting.
That's it. I've been busy.
Oh, haven't we done well? Go us. So what about games? Any games?
Now, sadly, no Kill Team games. However, I have started a 40k 10th edition Crusade, where Crusade's essentially the narrative version for 40k. And we're doing a slow grow, so we start with lower points, and then every month we get to add, like, the force gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And essentially, I'm using it as an opportunity to play with all these Death Watch kill teams that I've built, painted, and put a lot of love into, and suddenly I can play with all of them at once.
Do you know how many points you have already?
Excluding the models that I'm building currently, I think I've got about 1,700.
Oh, wow. That's more than I thought.
Yeah, and then with these new additions, yeah, it really does. With these new additions, it will tick me just over 2,000. So I actually have to choose who to bring to a big game. But I don't think I'll be playing big games that often. So,
no. Well, I'd like to say at least one of us is staying focused. But I've been off playing other games as well. but you won't find me doing big hammer. Ooh, sounds too much. No, I'm scared of it.
I did quite enjoy finding the parallels in between the Crusade system and the Spec Ops system. They are very similar.
Oh, is there anything?
And I wonder if
this is one for a future show, but are there anything there we should be borrowing? Oh. You can just say yes or no.
So, yes, but it's rather than like team-specific like battle honours, there's just a bunch of different battle honours that you can roll randomly from. There's like 20 or so. But you can apply them to different like words with a different keyword. So like your medic may have a different level up tree to your gunner.
Yep.
Which I know kind of works with everything else. But it was really interesting because you could take a battle honour or you could take a weapon upgrade or two weapon upgrades. And like it's kind of like D&D where you could either get a class feature or take a feat. And like you've just got a lot of optionality, which I quite enjoy.
Yeah, sounds interesting. I sort of look forward to hearing more.
Meanwhile, you've actually been playing Kill Team, but more importantly, you've got a pretty special game in.
Got a couple of, well, they're all special to me, Sean. But yeah, I've been playing a couple of just massively thematic games recently. It's really just, you know, I'm doing peak narrative here. So a couple of weeks ago, I played James. So and if you don't know James, James Wales 75 on the Battle Brothers Tabletop Discord has some of the most amazing models. And he had some Chalneth terrain, which was just fantastically painted. Really good. So he had an Inquisitorial Agent team, which is good to play against. But the leader was Eisenhorn. Includes Ravenna. It's just brilliant. It's just fantastic. The support,
that's pretty cool.
The support squad are Gaunt's Ghosts. So it's like Larkin the Sniper. And
oh, wow.
Absolutely amazing looking. It's just so good. So we and I was playing my Exaction squad, so it was the Space Cops on this one. So we had we were doing escort prisoner, is it called? Anyway, the escort narrative mission where this Inquisitorial agent team was transporting a quote unquote person of interest to their headquarters. However, there's also a Imperial warrant on this person, and my Arbetius squad were tasked with executing this high-risk warrant. So not knowing who these people were, we went in shotguns blazing to take back this prisoner. So what a great game. It was really back and forth. I managed to my castigator managed to arrest Eisenhorn, which, you know, just felt really good. However, the demo, I think, killed at least on his own, just killed, I think, four of my poor Arbites operatives. Yeah, no, back and forth, but the agent team managed to get their prisoner across the board. But it was really good. And if I can just note where in-game narrative meets real-world realism, I was being shot by a plasma gun, and I managed to do an improbably excellent number of save dice, and so I jump up, raise my arms in exclamation, doing a whoop, you know, exuberance, all getting emotional, and just as I was doing this, a guy carrying two cups of coffee was coming behind me, and I knocked one of them out of his hand. So listeners, imagine you've just saved in the game a hot plasma shot. At the same time, you've only just avoided getting doused in actual real-life hot coffee. So, yeah.
You're blurring the lines, Jason. The lines.
I tell you what, I'm so into narrative, I'll prepare to burn myself with hot coffee. Anyway, it was a close call. And I've got to say that the staff member who was carrying the coffee was fantastic about it. So thank you, Bad Moon Cafe, for being utterly understanding at my exuberance. So that, yeah, that was one game. And then yesterday, friend of the show, Nick, came round, and whoop whoop, it's the sound of the police. Now, this time I wasn't playing the Exaction Squad. We were trying my homebrew mission using the Riot Control Sentinel that I built a little while ago, which I'm fantastically pleased with. It's a mod. It's been one of my dream models for ages. And so the mission is the Riot Control Sentinel acts as a kind of non-player character and activates in the strategic phase. And the idea here really is that it has lots of not very lethal Riot Control weapons like tear gas.
Yeah, it's more controlling, isn't it?
Well, yeah, there's a water cannon, tear gas, and a heavy Weber and a searchlight. And yeah, so it's supposed to be annoying more than it is deadly. And then what you've essentially got is a number of loot objectives. So we had the background to our story was that the Sentinel was guarding a missile defense tower, and a Chaos cult wanted control of this tower, and my abhuman team, my homebrew abhuman team, were being sent by my Inquisitor. Who would have we said? Flash Baptiste?
Auditus?
Flash Auditus.
Flash Baptiste is pretty cool.
Okay, we'll go with Flash Baptiste at the moment and I'll think on it. Flash Baptiste was sending in an abhuman Imperial Guard team to thwart this Chaos cult. But no one had told didn't have time to tell the Arbites Sentinel, so it was gunning for everybody.
Oh no!
Super thematic game, really, really good fun. And I think someone did get heavy webbered to death. It was a devotee, so it's supposed to be especially mostly sort of stun weapons, and the water cannon knocks you back. So if you're on a elevation, you get knocked off, which I think is quite fun.
Were you playing on open?
Yeah, I did a sort of. I used mostly Octarius terrain, and I've got a sort of homemade missile tower. Yeah, no, and I'm again very pleased with my homebrew abhuman team. They seem to be reasonably balanced, in that they got a bit crushed into in turn four by the absolutely outrageously too good Chaos Cult. It's very hard to kill Torment, it turns out. But just to say, by the I think I was wiped out maybe at the very beginning of turn four, or it was tabled, and then the Sentinel was overwhelmed by two of the Torments who just climbed all over it and ripped it to pieces, and the poor Arbetes guy in it presumably got some inducted into the
cult. Similar treatment.
Anyway, really fun. And if anybody has a Sentinel and fancies trying the mission, it's very simple. Built AI I've got going for the Sentinel model itself. Yeah, thought it worked okay, actually. I don't think I'm actually planning on changing anything. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It was good.
Did Nick find it particularly annoying for all of his best plans and everything?
No, he was good. We all both, because the Sentinel was right in the middle, and on an objective as well. So we were sort of fighting on the flanks quite a lot rather than going through the middle as you might, because neither of us really wanted to waste time killing the Sentinel when we could be...
You've got stuff to do.
I got to kill each other. We had a lot of loot piles to look at as well. And so it wasn't really until late in the game that it had to be tackled, really. I'd like to play again, perhaps with a more shooty team, because no one had too much AP weaponry or anything. So maybe if there's somebody with loads of plasmas, they might be able to take it out pretty early doors.
Maybe the inquisitorial agents themselves with their they've got their plasma and melter servitors.
Perhaps that's all. They might go early for it. But then, if you're shooting the Sentinel, you're not shooting the opposition. So, there you go.
Decisions.
Anyway, definitely fun. Definitely would do it again, I think.
Oh, fantastic. So we're going to move on to the next segment of our show. We're going to talk about the best narrative moments from the London Wargaming Guild's narrative tournament that we hosted at the start of last month?
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago now, but I think it was last month.
So this was in our current setting of Hive Talus. So winning is fine and all that, but sometimes in these games we play, there is a fantastic, dramatic moment. An outrageously unlikely shot or defense save, your most powerful operative whiffs a surefire dice, maybe an unlikely series of events ends in a victory on the last activation. Well, we asked the people at last month's LWG narrative tournament to let us know their best narrative moment of the day, and here's what we got. Remember, whoever Jason thinks had the best one is going to get one of our t-shirts.
Which, this is fantastic for a podcast, but I'm wearing a t-shirt right now. Yes, kids.
It looks great.
There's
very
merch.
Slick.
So I think we're gonna alternate reading out these. So I'm kicking this off. Ryan, who I think the same Ryan who gave you some minis. He's got a couple of things. So he had a big positive moment. So playing as the attacker on eliminate target, he was behind on victory points. And with only his rocket boy, called Ghost, on turning point 3, he managed to incapacitate the veteran guard sergeant and then was wiped out, but still win. And having done this myself against you, it is such a pleasant feeling winning a game with no operatives on the board. So I can kind of totally get that one. And his best storytelling moment, he was facing a team called Redemption's Hammer. Sounds a bit lame. Is that you, Redemption's Hammer?
My team was the Redemption's Hammer, but I didn't bring them to this event. Dun, dun, dun.
Facing Redemption's Hammer in Airlocked, Oh, this is the Expedition Titanicus match.
The old one.
Yeah. He brought his battle-scarred burner boy, rightly thinking, as we all would, right, it's close quarters, it's the new Into the Dark, surely this is going to be the time you bring your burner boy. However, Sean's assault intercessor proved how wrong he was and sliced the poor old tank up in the central chamber. He then failed his casualty test and was a permadeath. He brings him in for a special mission, dies. And then, when an orc dies, does it?
I do remember this one.
Secrete his spores, maybe. Is that what happens?
Yeah, a little puff.
A little puff. Right, do you want to go with the next one?
Yeah, so we've got Levi with Kasaran. In the narrative, he's his black shield in his Deathwatch legionary team. So this is his anointed Kasaran. He took about 40 wounds worth of shooting, with all his battle honors, 2+ defense, and a 5+ feel no pain, keeping him alive, just weathering all that damage. He stays on the objective and prevents his opponent from scoring. And they were locked in melee combat, and his anointed just needed 2 crits and a normal to push some damage through and just knock them off the point completely. And he rolled exactly that.
But the dice gods are with you. Now, here
we
have...
We love it when the maths works.
Here we have somebody called Sean. I don't know if you... Maybe you should read this one yourself. It's the Felgor Ravagers v. the Novitiates. A blood-sensed...
Theo's Novitiates, yes.
Is this a blood-sensed Mangle? Is that right? Charging...
Mangler.
Charging into a Repentia on the Novitiates team. So this is massive chainsword against massive chainsword. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Got a 2-on-1. Two of the Felgors. However, the Novitiate has the Reap power, which means... she can kill both of them all at once. So, job done, right?
No. And she did.
But no. Goats go frenzy. And then it's revenge time.
How did you feel?
How did that make you feel?
Yeah, that was really good fun. My Mangler is modelled as one of the... the Dishonored Jackal. So the one with, an amputee chainsword in one hand and a massive sword on the other. And yeah, his Repentor had already charged someone else, and then he charged into that combat. Of course didn't fight, because Felgors don't fight on their turn. But then the Novitiate on her turn managed to kill them both with the sheer number of sixes, faith points pushing them through, and the Reap damage just stacking up. I think they must have been weakened already, but she cut down both of the Felgor Ravagers in close combat. But then they both frenzied. And she was left all alone with these foaming, frothing cultists.
I have this mental image that the Felgor Ravagers in the middle of the battle put up a hand, point to their watch, and sort of go, I don't do attacking on my turn.
Yeah.
I imagine that's what they're doing. Okay, next up.
I like to think that they keep playing chicken and running up to something and then going, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, full power, whoa, 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 whoa.
It's an odd one, isn't it? It's an odd one. Okay, friend of the show, Nick, he was playing commandos at this event, and his sniper boy switches on a control panel, coolly headshots a custodi. Pretty cool. Same turn. Unfortunately, that powers up the gun turret, which turns on the poor sniper boy and guns him down. narratively, what a sequence. He's gone from zero to hero to zero.
Yeah, that's again, all these moments, you're never going to forget them. They're so good. We have Andy and his Dark Amalgam Legionary team. His aspiring champion fired a supercharged plasma shot and rolled 4 ones, which is enough to kill him. But wait, he successfully re-rolled 3 of them to only get singed hands and presumably a refresher course in health and safety when using plasma weapons.
I don't think there's enough health and safety courses in the 40k universe, if I'm honest. Yeah, and then I think in the same game, he had an anointed-on-anointed fight. I've got to say, anointed has come up a number of times on the best narrative moments, and I'm wondering if... Where did it come on the best operative? It was in there, wasn't it? It had anointed on the...
It was up there.
Okay, if you want a good narrative moment, basically get a legionary team with an anointed. It will never let you down. Anyway, Andy tells us that he took 18 wounds of damage in close combat to another anointed legionary and managed to recover 8 of them. Which is,
yeah,
pretty decent.
Shrug them off.
Through feel no pain. To leave him on 2 wounds. Now it's interesting. The feel no pain. It sounds like it's whatever perspective you're from. Because if you're the one rolling them, it's the great narrative.
Fun.
It's a great narrative moment. If you're on the other side, it's the heart sinking moment. Okay. And I was going to say to finish us up, and I'm announcing this as the winning entry.
Whoa.
So, Sean, take it away. Who has won Best Narrative Moment of the LWG Hive Tellus Tournament? Maybe read it first and then do the name.
Okay. I'll do the reveal at the end. We'll see who... If you can guess, shout it out, no matter where you are. A Nurgle Anointed Marine versus a Felgor Mangler. Both very tough and very killy operatives, they both incapacitated each other in a cool double knockout. The Anointed went into demon mode in turn 1, charging a death knell beastman. The Anointed shredded the beastman with ease, receiving barely a scratch in return, first blood. Seeing his fellow beastman struck down, the nearly blind mangler was consumed by rage. He charged the Anointed Marine and the two behemoths clashed. The Mangler hit all of his attacks, but the Mark of Nurgle, paired with the Demonic Resilience, saw the Chaos Marine strike the killing blow. The Anointed survived the fight with 4 wounds. Not yet. The Blind Goat went into a frenzy and fought one more time. It immediately struck the Anointed for 10 wounds, and this was reduced to 9 with all 5 of them bounced, but not enough to survive. Slowly, both combatants fell to the ground. Incapacitated. And that was Matt with his icy Felgors.
Yeah, his frosty goats.
Two right.
Now, a great narrative moment should end with both operatives dead, I think.
Yes.
That's what I've come to the conclusion. And the other conclusion I've come to is you want to chuck an anointed at a Felgor Ravager and, you know, job's a good one. What do you reckon? Anyway,
Well done, Matt. We will
be in
endeavor
touch.
To get you. Yeah. Have you got the t-shirt or have I? No, you do.
I've got the t-shirt. So
I've got the t-shirt.
Yeah, and I think we'll be doing this again. So if we go to another narrative event, I'd definitely like the idea of the best narrative moment. It was really good.
Completely.
And I have to say, on the day, as I was going around, I was, you know, these are the moments you want to talk about afterwards. And, yeah, I love listening to them.
I really enjoyed going to the pub with everyone afterwards, and we all were reminiscing about the games we've just had.
Okay, so we're trialing a new feature. So we, over the course of this long podcast, which is, you know, very very long and established podcast, we speak about what we do. So we speak about our own campaigns, our own narratives, and occasionally we'll have a guest on. But we want to sort of see the almost infinite different ways you can play narrative in your, you know, local game group. And I saw one on I think it was Facebook, this which caught my eye and I quite liked. So we're going to do a listener campaign. So we've got Max, who is based in Berlin, Germany, and we're going to go through some of the high points of how they run their campaign. But we would be amiss if we didn't start with the background. So, Sean, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. Khmer is a lush agricultural world at the edge of the galaxy, whose food and livestock facilities serve nearby hive worlds dependent on imports. The planet is sparsely populated, with its inhabitants scattered across a few metropolitan areas or predominant rural communities. Technologically, Khmer is backwards. Greenhouses and harvesting robots could only be afforded by wealthy, large landowners, who are oftentimes dependent on slave labor. A part of the fields is cultivated in arduous manual work with primitive tools, the good old horse and plow.
Recently, the power political situation on the planet has become increasingly confused. Several parties have emerged that claim loyalty to the Emperor and question the official integrity of their rivals. For the Imperial Central Bureaucracy, the conflict is too insignificant to choose sides or even devote significant resources to its resolution. For this reason, the situation is muddled. For months, the companies of Khmer have been at standstill in a civil war. Road networks are hardly passable without having to fear checks and raids by local militias. Offices and authorities are occupied by self-proclaimed liberation armies, which often consist of a handful of farmers armed with pitchforks and stones, and really serious undertakings by local law enforcement groups come to nothing.
It is to be feared that this inadvertence will soon be avenged. Khmer may hardly be worth a footnote on the interstellar map of the Adeptus Astronomica, but easily influence for the war boss, seeking authority or incorporation into the Guayvesa of the Tau, in the region represent the breeding ground for a growing threat to the Empire.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And if
that's really cool.
It's not bad, is it? So that's something that I've been really interested in, is just sort of exploring some of the different ways people play. So just to remind everyone, we play a relatively loose system where it's like who's available this week. We set up games, and it's very much the we run our own narratives, really, to a large extent. However, for Max and his group, they're basically part of a game club, and they meet every Friday. And they agreed for this sort of kill team season that they were going to play 9 matches, and the winner, so there's going to be a winner, and I find this interesting in itself, needs to fulfill the respective spec op, so you know, you've got to tick that box, and then have the most victory points from mission objectives and tac ops at the end of the campaign. I thought that was very interesting. What do you think to that?
Well, I know that you love to keep a tally of things from in between games, so I know this will tick a box for you. I find it curious that there's a winner and not just the focus on story, but I guess it's how their group has fun, I guess. You know, like, if they're all striving to come out on top, you know, that only the strongest survive, or only the most devious subvert their enemies. Like, that's cool in itself.
You don't take over a planet by coming second, Sean.
You're so right. You're so right.
So it sounds like this group meet weekly, and this campaign took a couple of months. And the other thing that I quite like is that they basically tried to incorporate as many different of the game modes as possible. Multiplayer matches, Sentinel matches, Last Stands, which is pretty interesting. I've still yet to do a Last Stand mission myself. And then... sort of more regular crit ops, and I find that great. Trying to do as many different types. I think that's a great way of mixing it up. This is a good example of it, because I mainly go to one particular gaming cafe, and predominantly they'll unless I bring my own terrain, I'm going to be on Octarius. So, you know, so I've got to work a bit harder myself. So I think this is great when you're in a group that all plays on the same night. And it sounds like they have a good system whereby newbies get paired with, where possible at least, get paired with the more experienced players, which I think if anybody out there is thinking of running their own scene, I think I'd advise that. That's really nice. Well, as long as the
yeah, massively.
As long as the experienced person is yes. Nice. And I'm just wanting to crush the newbie while they got the chance. But yeah, no, I like the idea of like game night, and I think it's something we've discussed, the idea of having a narrative game night, and I think I'd certainly be one to encourage it. I think that's a really nice thing to do.
I think, interestingly, from what I'm reading, it sounds like most of their matches weren't one-on-one, but maybe two-on-one, 1v1v1, or four players playing on the table using these multiplayer missions.
Yeah, yeah. I thought that
was really cool.
It's very cool. It's very cool. And the other thing, this only works so far on a podcast, but I'll put a link up to the Instagram accounts. But the terrain, this really stands out. It's not normal GW terrain. These are kind of like so this is an agri world. So they're kind of, it's like a rustic village with a little bell tower and palm trees. And really, Max and his friends have really gone to town making this one of the more unique settings I've seen. Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes to.
I'm just having a look now. It looks fantastic.
If you can just put this in, it's Nerds Not Dead on Instagram. Check it out. Excellent. And I don't know how you feel, Sean, but I've almost had enough of Octarius and Chalneth a little bit. So to mix it up with, frankly, something that would not look out of place in a sort of, you know, World War II setting would, I think, is really nice.
Almost a Mordheim book as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really, 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 really fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been a great insight into someone else's campaign. If you are in Berlin and you fancy joining Max's group, he's given us a link to his Discord. We'll put it in the show notes. Sounds like they welcome new people. Yeah, enjoy. And if you're in Berlin, check them out. And just want to say a big thanks to Max for taking the time to tell us about his group. If you out there run a narrative campaign that you think is different from what we've already talked about, do get in touch. It's onceuponakillteam@gmail.com or get us through Instagram. Talking of getting in touch, it's mailbag time.
I can't believe we get mail.
Well, email.
We've got email. Shall I read this one?
You can. You can.
All right. This one's from Ben. Hi, folks. You've really inspired me to move our regular Kill Team group in Hinckley into a more narrative group. Thank you very much, and you've been a great source of help. Anyway, gush over. I'm going to be using my crew as Counts as Talons of the Emperor team. This will be with my Sisters of Scorn and
great
Crew
name.
Tox
great
Wardens.
Name.
The Sisters of Scorn are really
it's
cool.
Frigate.
And he's running Crutox as the custodies.
Wow. Love it.
One player is using his Tyranid team to do the same. So I imagine using the Tyranid warriors as their custodies and then probably some gene stealers as the sisters and everything. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, Ben, you're on our page.
Did you ever use... Yeah. Did you ever use your orc stodies in a narrative campaign? Were there any extra narrative rules you used for a compendium team, such as rare equipment and spec ops? Cheers, Ben. Yes. Heck yes, I used my Orc Stories in the narrative campaign. I think I ran them for 6 months or so. And I... Let me just pull up the Teammate app available on iOS for all your narrative game-keeping, note-holding admin. Yeah, I only ever used the four custodies. Didn't expand my roster any further than that. Never needed to. Gorkroll Archcrumper got XP of 42 and he got up to Grizzled. He became invulnerable, focused, and indomitable. Rook Gol Nazza, he was my main, like, I tried to give them all separate branches. He was also on, he was on 41 XP, he was Grizzled as well. He got Death from Above, Crackshot, and Sharpshooter. Then Whirrable Wrecker, he only was on 34 because he was my combat guy, so he died more often than he'd get experience. But that he's still Grizzled, and he's got Bladework, Duelist, and Vicious. And then my favourite, Groz Throttler. He's on 32 experience, he's Grizzled again, but he got Covert, Swift, and Picket. So they're all modelled after the Warhammer Underworlds team. The Morgog's Crushers, I think. Anyway, Groz Throttler is the one modelled. He's running around in barefoot, and he's the one that I chose to be my scout. I really like that he's like this huge orc in big gold armour running around barefoot, and no one can hear him as he sneaks up the battlefield.
He very much encompasses the... what is it? Walk quietly, but hold a big stick. Carry a big stick. I'm sure I've mangled that quote. That's good. I love this Counts As team. That sounds very up our alley. Fantastic.
Yeah, massively. I'd love to see him. Ben, if you've got photos, send them over to us.
Yep. And we've got another bit of mail. Hi, Sean and Jason. A belated congratulations on your one-year anniversary of the podcast and self-proclaimed friend of the show since episode zero. Thanks, Ben. That's super nice. Episode zero, that seems like a long time ago. Jason, the background of your vet card team was really, really good. Look forward to hearing more about their exploits as the campaign goes on. Just say yes, Sean and I are trying to work out a date where we can continue that. I'm certainly pretty stoked to get on with
it. Yeah, me too.
He also writes, have you guys considered doing an episode covering the fan-made Acolyte expansion for Kill Team? Would love to hear your thoughts on it and deserves a shout-out. I'm sure it'd be right up your listeners' alley. Right, what do you think of that?
The Acolyte system's really cool, and we know the guy that's done it, so we should probably get him on and have a chat.
Yeah, no, it's definitely up our alley. Yes, so what I would say, this is from Alex, by the way. So, Alex, look out for that. We're very keen to explore that. It looks really good. Alex goes on. So, could I be cheeky and request a shout out to the Kill Team player locator map? No need to be cheeky. I'd say we want to promote people playing the game as much as possible. So if you are out there listening to this very podcast wondering how do I find people to play, wouldn't it be nice if you could find someone in your area? So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. There's a lot of links in the show notes in this one, but I think this is a great idea. Let's
to
find
be
some
honest,
people.
This may become a permanent show notes fixture because I know exactly who this is, Alex. I know exactly who you are, seen you across all the Discords. I've used the Kill Team player map myself quite a bit, and I've had people reach me through Instagram because they found me on the Kill Team player app saying, like, shall we go play a game sometime? I live about, you know, a 10-minute drive away. It's just been fantastic.
Hi, Sean. Can we go and murder each other? Love and hugs.
XOXO.
Yeah, and Alex finishes wishing you guys all the best. Keep up the great KT narrative content. Thanks, Alex. That is super nice of you. Yeah, you've given us some definite things to do forward, especially the Acolyte game, which we very much like the look of. If you have something you'd like to contribute to the show, please get in contact onceuponakillteam@gmail.com. Get us via Instagram. I am on Instagram as Citizen Disco, and Sean is on Instagram as
uberstrata_makes.
And if you don't feel confident about spelling that, there's a link in the show notes.
Now, Jason, you've been flirting around with other podcasts. You were literally on Just Another Kill Team podcast the other night. How did it go?
I was there. A couple of super amazing people, Travis and Jason. So we had Jason and Jason. I like to think of it as two Jason, two Furious. yeah, what a lovely bunch of guys. And they invited us, but I think I was the only one free. And because they're running there's a New York Open narrative event coming up, and this is another one for the show notes. So if you are in New York, do check it out. These guys sound like they're running a fantastic event. And if you love narrative,
it sounds great.
And if you're in the area or can get to New York, do check it out. But I was on their show to talk about sort of narrative elements of Kill Team. So hopefully I was what they expected. They did try and ask me about tactics, and I kind of had to politely say you've got the wrong guy for top tips of tactics. But
look, Jason's here to write stories and roll dice. I don't know what else you want.
Yeah, but if I can just, if you need any more encouragement, go and check out their episode. What they have is a white hot tip on how to run a competitive Phobos team. Now, we're not going to spoil it by telling you what it is. It blew my mind. As a person who really enjoyed Phobos and wants to go back to it, check them out. So yeah, so check out that episode. It'll probably be out before our one. Yeah, really, really good. Nice. Always fun to talk about the hobby.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad you had fun as well. They're a lovely, lovely bunch of guys. So we'll see if we can get it right this time. But next time on Once Upon a Kill Team, we're going to have special guest John from Can You Roll a Crit on the show. He has had his head turned by narrative.
The question is, can someone so into competitive play enjoy narrative? Plot spoiler, yes.
Yes, very much so.
If what you heard on this podcast sounds even remotely interesting, subscribe and tell your friends. For every subscription to the podcast, you get an extra ration of premium slab. Just don't ask what's in it.
If you have a few spare pennies and would like to support the show, you can do so through Ko-fi. There's a link in the show notes. Once Upon a Kill Team will always be free, and any help you give goes towards making the podcast better. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Once Upon a Kill Team. Just remember, it's not whether you won or lost. It's whether your rattling sniper turns his scoped long las onto the enemy leader before coolly squeezing the trigger. And then he wolfs down a delicious meat pie. Yum. See you next time.